Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Nicole, it's John Williams. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on. I'm happy to be here.
I'm getting a fast education about you. You're on TV in Canada. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
Am I able to see you here in the United States?
Yeah. I have a little part on a show called The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I'm actually in a movie that's coming out tomorrow that it's not going to screen. It's screening in Canada, and it's available for purchase on digital download in the States. It's called Carmilla the Movie, and it's based on a Canadian web series that has 70 million views worldwide. So it's got a bit of a following.
Well, then make the movie. Particularly... Make a movie about that. This is my advice. Make a movie about that, for goodness sakes.
Thanks. Yeah, it's not bad advice at all. It's a movie. The story is about teenage lesbian vampire couple that meet in university and basically have to solve all these sort of supernatural mysteries together. And I think the reason that it's been so widely received is that it normalizes queer relationships for young people. Huh. Often you find the queer character is like a sidekick friend who gets murdered or has a really traumatic coming out story. In the Carmilla universe, most of the characters are queer. It's not a big deal, and they just get onto it and try to fight the demigod.
Oh, and by the way, they're vampires, too. That's funny.
Well, one's a vampire. There's one vampire. Carmilla is a vampire.
Got it.
It's a bit like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but for an LGBTQ young audience. And so it's resonated really well with that group. And 70 million views worldwide. It's been translated to 20 languages. And the movie comes out tomorrow, and I'm excited.
Speaking of being widespread, what's the circulation been of your essay from CNN?
So this essay started as a Facebook post because the day of all of the Me Too posts, it was last Sunday, my whole Facebook was just flooded with Me Too, Me Too, Me Too. And I have a number of Me Too stories myself. And amid all of these people saying Me Too, I saw this group of men saying, oh, my God, how can I help? And these are men that I'm friends with, and I like them, and I respect them, and I think they're good people. And they're asking, what can I do? And I thought, well, I have a couple ideas of what you can do. So I wrote a Facebook post detailing some things that decent guys can do to help make the climate better for the women around them.
Yeah.
Friends started saying, can I share this? So I made it public, and by the next day, it had been shared 40,000 times, and as of now, it's been shared over 70,000 times. CNN wrote to me and asked if they could, if I could revamp it for their website. So I did. So now it's on the CNN.com homepage.
Yeah.
They've tweeted it out.
Yeah.
And so I'm still getting lots of messages and comments about it. So I think the circulation at this point is pretty broad because CNN reaches a big audience.
So let's go over some of these in a minute. On a phone line, Nicole Stamps, piece in the Facebook page, but also on CNN right now, has things that men can do to help in response to the hashtag MeToo effort. MeToo, of course, coming on the heels of the revelation that Harvey Weinstein appears to have been a serial philanderer or assaulter. And other women were stepping up and saying hashtag MeToo. So let's just sprint through some of these, can we?
Yeah, please.
So you said, practice this phrase, that's not cool. Say it to other men who are saying disrespectful things to or about women. You said, signal boost female voices. If you're sharing an article about a social issue, find one written by a woman, if it's about a woman. Same goes for other groups. Boost articles about race by indigenous, black, or people of color, and articles about disability by writers with disabilities. There's a revolutionary slogan you point out, nothing about us without us. And then you said this, amplify women's voices at work. Speak up. If a woman's contributions are being dismissed, say that's what Monique said. Advocate for the ladies when they say something. And then this, be mindful of how you introduce women, particularly at work functions. At medical conferences, you note, women introduce male doctors as doctor, 95% of the time. But men introduce female doctors as doctor only 49% of the time. You also said don't mention appearance when introducing female colleagues. This is the lovely Janet. Oh, God, Nicole, how many times have I heard? How many times have I done that? You want to pay somebody a compliment, and introducing them, you'll say, here's the lovely, and it's a female. But we don't do that to guys, do we?
Right, and I recognize that the impulse behind that, I'm sure, is complimentary. But I think if you look at the effect that it has, it ends up downplaying the woman's credentials and subtly telling other people that what they should focus on is Janet's appearance as opposed to the fact that Janet is your department head.
I guess that's what it's doing. And all we wanted to do is point out that not only is she brilliant and the head of the department, in your example, but also that she's lovely, too. But now that's gratuitous or condescending, isn't it?
Well, personally, I would rather be recognized for my professional accolades than for my looks.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
yeah.
If I'm standing in front of that person, they can draw their own conclusions about my looks, but they need to know what I've done so they know how they should speak to me.
Well, what is that impulse in guys? Guys of a certain age, maybe? What is it about the impulse to do that? Because I don't think they always mean harm when they do that.
I certainly don't think people mean harm when they do that. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a guy who does that. It would be hard for me to read into somebody else's motive.
Yeah.
I do think that in some instances, certainly not all instances, in some instances, I found that, just to give you an example, I was in a taxi the other day, and I asked the driver to take a specific route, and he didn't want to take that route. But I had an app open on my phone. I could see the traffic. I knew this route very well. And so I asked kind of firmly, can we please take this route? And he didn't like that. But it's also, I'm paying for the cab ride.
Yeah,
so it's
right.
His job. I mean,
you're working for me.
I need to do what I ask. So he said, fine, sweetheart. Now, in that situation, he's not calling me sweetheart because he thinks I'm sweet. So why is he calling me sweetheart? I think he's trying to subtly put me down. Do I think that every person who's ever called me sweetheart is trying to put me down? Absolutely not. Do I think sometimes that calling somebody honey or dear or kiddo can be a subtle way to put them down?
Oh,
yes,
sure, sure, sure. Well, so you said this then. The next one was, don't call her sweetie. Avoid diminutive nicknames like hun, baby, darling, girl, young lady, kiddo. It's condescending. We had a conversation here on this show the other day. Actually, it was a podcast I record with my colleague here, Steve Bertrand. And I believe the word sissy was used to. Was that the word that got one of us in trouble, Steve?
Sissy. Hissy. Don't throw a hissy fit.
Hissy fit, right. And then, which is maybe a derivation of sissy, but you said, I wouldn't use that. I think that's inappropriate. And I said, I didn't know that that word was in play now. And then lo and behold, I read your piece and you make the same point.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't specifically point out the phrase hissy fit. I suspect that might be short for hysterical fit.
Yeah, right.
And hysterical historically means that a woman's uterus is making her crazy. So it does kind of, we don't really say that men get hysterical, right? Hysterical is a gendered insult. So I didn't point that one out. I hadn't really thought of that one. But yeah, I mean, hearing it, it's a kind of phrase that is not applied to men as much as to women.
Oh, sure.
So I think When you find yourself using an insult that applies to one gender more than the other, that might be a hint that what's really bothering you about the person is their gender, not their behavior.
I think.
Right? I mean, if I cut you off in traffic, I'm being what, a jerk? Sure. I'm being selfish. I'm being rude. I'm being inconsiderate. Am I being a B word? I mean, only because I'm a woman. A man could do the exact same thing in traffic, and you wouldn't call him that.
He doesn't get called that. What was your point, Steve?
Well, I was just going to say about hysterical. You know, it's funny. I think it's how you're raised or where, because I never, ever assigned a gender to that phrase until it was pointed out to me.
No, but I do see sissy as a pejorative, but, a relatively harmless one. I've always seen.
Well, I don't think it's harmless.
Yeah.
I think that sissy is a way of saying that a man who does not fulfill these traits of masculinity, often applied to men who are suspected of being gay, are lesser than, and they're lesser than because they're fulfilling some kind of feminine trait. I don't think words are harmless. I recognize that there are a lot of words out there, and we don't all know the history of every word. And we
right.
Can't possibly
well, that's why I bring that point up. That's my point. I think that language is fungible, and we're all learning as we evolve. And I also wonder sometimes if in the process of trying to educate or guide, you don't, stand the chance of actually alienating the people that you're trying to help.
Let me say two things to that. First of all, the first time you say hissy fit and someone says that might be problematic, no problem. You get a free pass.
Yeah.
If you continue to say it in front of the people that said they thought it was problematic in a way that's derogatory to them, I think you're veering into the problem is no longer that you're saying a word. The problem is that you're saying something that you know is hurtful to somebody.
Yeah.
That's a different problem. That's the thing I have a problem with.
Well, and you make that point. You say, it's okay. You can apologize. Apology accepted later in your piece.
Yeah. I mean, actually, if you have a second to click over to my original Facebook post, there are a couple of things that I said in it that other people in the comments corrected me on, and I changed it in the post, and I left the edit visible. I'm going to just call attention to the fact that I said this originally. Somebody in the comments pointed out that that was disrespectful. I agree with them. I won't say that again. But I didn't delete it because I thought, you know what? It's kind of weird to delete mistakes. It's kind of better to leave them public and show that you've reconsidered and leave yourself accountable to that.
I am out of time. You and I need to finish this conversation another day. But I just want to say this. So you go through and you have, 14 different points in the CNN version of the Facebook post. And one of them is give a female extra space after dark. And I think I knew, but maybe they didn't resonate clearly enough with me all of the time. I think it was just so helpful, and it builds. It actually gets better to the very final point you make about accepting discomfort. I think it's just so interesting and well done. And so props to you, Nicole. Thank you for sharing those observations.
Well, thank you so much for being willing to hear them and for inviting me on your show. It's a pleasure to speak with you, and a real pleasure always to speak to people who are willing to at least reconsider something that they hadn't thought of before, which I think is all I can really ask of anybody ever. All any of us can ask is that you're open. So thank you.
Nicole Stamp, you can see her on the page one of CNN.